our natural food and water that we drink, a liquid that we drink that helps keep us alive and in good health, right? Especially if we don't overdo it on the eating side. Amen. And while Jesus was here on the earth, guess what he did? He ate. Yeah, he ate natural food. He did. He ate natural food. And just like you and I, we have to eat natural food. And most of us, I think I can safely say, enjoy eating, don't we? Amen. Huh? Amen. Praise God. We enjoy eating, but that, you know, our bodies love it so much that, you know, it can keep us eating all the time. So we have to, you know, we have to take control. That's right. Amen. So our bodies need natural food, but we are more than just bodies. We are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings. And as spiritual beings, we also, the spirit needs to be nourished as well. You hear me? The spirit needs to be nourished as well. And the way that the spirit is nourished, the spiritual man, the Bible mentions it in many different ways. Sometimes the spirit is referred to as the inner man, which is the man on the inside of us, the born again man. But it is nourished by the word of God. It is nourished by the word of God. And there are too many people, too many Christians that are naturally full. I mean, they're naturally full. They feed the body. They, you know, they make sure that the body eats at least three times a day, and sometimes with some folks that's a minimum. Sometimes they can go up several different times a day, but I leave that alone because, you know, I don't want to stop preaching and start meddling. So, but you know what? Too many of us, we're doing all right physically, well nourished physically, but we're starving spiritually. Amen. Starving spiritually. And so we have to be fed spiritually. We have to be fed spiritual food. And the word of God is spiritual food. Amen. And spiritual food is just like natural food. Naturally speaking, some food that don't taste so good is the food that's the best for us. In other words, it's the more healthy food. Right? Amen. I know myself, naturally speaking, there are some foods I had to learn to like. I had to learn to like them. I had to make myself like them. I had to put forth some effort to eat them. One in particular was spinach. You know, I couldn't stand spinach, you know, but they told me spinach was good for me. Yeah. Amen. I got some witnesses on that. Yeah. I was told spinach was good for me. Guess what? I started eating spinach. My body said, my taste buds said, no, I don't want this. But I had to take over and take charge and say, body, you gonna have some spinach today. And the more I ate spinach, guess what? Now I love spinach. Now, yes, I do. Now I love spinach. Salmon is another one. I used to hate salmon, you know. And growing up as a child, you know, what we had to eat was poor man's salmon. And that was mackerel in a can. Anybody else other than me have eaten mackerel? Yeah, And I'm not knocking micro. It filled me up many times. But that's all that my daddy brought home was micro. And but I tried salmon and didn't like it. But I found out that salmon was good for me. Guess what? I started eating salmon. I made myself eat salmon, and guess what? I love salmon. Yeah, I love salmon. So we could go on and on, but I'm making a point here. And the point that I'm making is when you hear the Word of God or when you study the Word of God, not everything is going to come across to you as nice and sweet. You hear me? Not everything is going to be like dessert. Sometimes during the preaching of the word, in your own personal study of the word, you're going to find out that God will jerk the slack out of you.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Amen. In other words, God will feed us some spinach. God will feed us some salmon. But it's good for us. It keeps us healthy spiritually. Amen. And that's the reason we've been called to preach the whole counsel of God. Not just that that make you feel good. Not just that that you want to hear. Sometimes preaching will plumb make you mad. The only problem with that is us preachers are the one that the folk get mad at. When they really need to talk to God about it, because all we're doing is just preaching the Word of God. I can't believe he said that. I ain't going back to that church no more. I'm going to find me somebody going to preach to me exactly what I want to hear. Find me somebody to scratch my itch. Tickle my toes. But the Word of God is good, all of it. You hear me? I say the Word of God is good. All of it is good. Amen. So set your hearts and minds, whether you're hearing the Word of God preached or whether you're studying it in your Bible study time or whatever, receive the Word of God. And if God chastises you, if he pinches your toes, just be willing to repent. Amen. I know I hadn't given you my subject yet, but this is good anyway. Hallelujah. See, the problem that we have, many of us, is we don't like change. We don't want to change. We are comfortable right where we are. So we don't want to change, so don't you tell me I need to change. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to live for God, and that's what we all must do, if we're going to live for God, we got to be willing to change. Hallelujah. When you tell folk to change, man, folk get upset with you sometimes. Not everybody. Not everybody. But some folk get upset with you because they don't want to change. Well, I've been doing this way for all my life. How many of you know you can do things all your life and have done it wrong all your life? Amen. That's the reason we make Jesus not just our Savior, but we make him what? Huh?
Lord.
We make him Lord. And when we make him Lord, it's what he says that goes. And God's not going to change his mind about his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I know that blessed you, either blessed you or certainly provoked you to think. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Father, we thank you for your word, your life-changing word. And I pray, God, dear Lord, that we will have the right attitude to receive your word and say, Lord, this is your word, and I'm not lining up with this in this area of my life. So I'm willing to make this change right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank you for that. Father, I pray that this is the attitude that the hearers of your word will have today. And Father, they will be the better for it. They will be the better for it. We all will be the better for it, me included. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And I pray that they have ears to hear. I pray that they have a heart to receive. And thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word. In Jesus' name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I will probably finish this up today. At least I think I will. But I've said that before and it didn't happen. So, amen. Hallelujah. But I want us to go back to the book of Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5. And I've been ministering to you now, actually beginning in November, concerning knowing what's on the inside of us, knowing what's on the inside of us. And before you can actually know what's on the inside of you, you got to know who's on the inside of you. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. You got to know who is on the inside of you. And I want you to know, and I'm talking to the born-again believer, but let me tell you, even if you don't know Jesus Christ, all you have to do is invite him into your life. He comes into your heart, and he takes up residence inside of you in your spirit. He makes you a brand new person on the inside. Glory to God. He is a life changer. He is a life changer, and he changed my life. And I'll never be the same again. Amen. So we need to know who's on the inside of us as Christians, as believers, and we need to know what's on the inside of us, and you can say it this way, what he brought with us. Amen. What he brought with us. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we talked about the fact, and we won't go there, but we talked about the fact that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, so that it's God that's on the inside of us. Amen? It's God that's on the inside of us. And I want to tell you something, and this is Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Put it on the screen for me, please. You know what it says. But I won't, not everybody does, but put it on the screen, Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. And thank you, Lord. Let me see if that's the one I want. Okay, let me go there myself. I might want to do a little different here. Hallelujah. All right, just look down to verse 13. I gave you the wrong verse, but 4:13. listen at this. Now, we were singing and sharing about the fact that our God is an awesome God. And he is awesome. But I have an awesome God living on the inside of me, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of me. So do you if you're born again. And listen what the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Excuse me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we had 4:12 up there, so let's go back up to the 12th verse of Philippians chapter 4. And this book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul, and this is what he said. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. Isn't that powerful? In other words, listen, he's saying, you know, I can be without, or I can have abundance. He says, what he's saying is, with me, it don't matter, because it's, in other words, it's not going to change a thing. It's not going to change a thing. So I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. You see that? Everybody say all things.
All things.
Everywhere and in all things I have learned. Now, let me stop right there. I'm going to finish reading that verse, but I'm going to stop right there. See, that's the reason. That's the reason that we must hear the word of God. That feels good and that don't. Because when you hear the word of God, when you receive the word of God, guess what happened? You learn some things. You learn some things. And he said, Paul wasn't born with all knowledge of God. When he got saved, met Jesus on the Damascus Road, Paul still had some things he had to learn. And you see it here. He said, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, if there's need in my life, I don't panic. Because I know it's temporary. You still here? And he dealt with it all. He says, I've learned to both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Now go back to verse 13 again. And this, he made this powerful statement, because, listen to me, because of what he had learned. Because of what he had learned. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go back to the verse I said earlier. Stay with me on this. Jesus took our infirmities, our weaknesses, our inabilities. He took it all. And he bore our sicknesses, right? Now, Jesus took it all. Therefore, I have everything I need, although it may not be apparent. It may not be in my hand. So I must learn to be content in whatever state that I'm in. Amen. Because we have to understand something. In this life, while we are in this body, on this earth, we have to fight the good fight of faith. If everything went well all the time, we wouldn't need faith. I mean, because we got everything right here. Just everything. If you need some money, boom, it's right there. Flash. If you're single, you need a saved, Holy Ghost filled, tongue-talking mate, wife, flash, right there. It don't happen that way. Don't happen that way. We have to learn how to trust God with and without. We have to learn that I'm going to trust God. That you may have sickness in your body. You got to learn to trust God. Know that I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. It's not my strength. It's not my smarts. It's not my good looks or lack thereof. It's through Christ. And Paul said, I've learned that. I've learned that. You still here? Now, he learned that because, of course, Paul read the Word of God. He was an Old Testament student. And, of course, you know Paul wrote many of the New Testament books. We know that himself as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. But he understood the law. So he learned, though, after he met Jesus Christ, that Almighty God, through Christ, now lives on the inside of me, on the inside of him. So whatever state he was in, he knew, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. When we didn't have money to put food on our table, I learned that we were winners. I learned that we were winners. And brothers and sisters, listen to me, please. And we should always, before I say this, let me say this other. We should always be willing to help the poor, to give. Can I get an amen? Word of God tells us we need to give. But we also, when we have a need, we need to be confident in knowing that God is going to open the door for me. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I just know that he is going to do it. Why? Because I have learned that whatever state that I am in, whether I have lack or whether I have abundance, Jesus Christ is still Lord, and his word has never changed and it never will change. And that same word I apply to my life, and something's going to break for me. God's going to talk to somebody. If God can send a bird to feed a man, what do you think he can do for you and me? Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So learn to be content. So what do you think Paul was doing? I ain't got away from this verse. Put verse 12 back up there again for me. Verse 12. It says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, I like that word, everywhere. Everywhere. And in all things, I like that too. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And he goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So in verse 12, what do you think the Apostle Paul was doing while he was being abased, while he was suffering need? What do you think the Apostle Paul was doing? Well, I can tell you one thing he was doing. He was praying in other tongues. He was singing in other tongues. 1 Corinthians will tell you about it. He says, you know, he says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. You know what I do when I don't know what to do? You got it, brother. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in other tongues. Glory to God. What an honor. What a privilege. Yes, we can pray in our native language, and we need to pray in our native language. But we'll get back there if we get back there. But you got to understand something, and too many people don't understand our makeup, who we are. We don't understand our makeup. We are spirit, soul, and body. And you hear me say this often. We are created in the image and the likeness of God, and God is spirit. Amen. And what did Jesus say? And we worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is spirit. We are spirits. You still here? We are spirits. Therefore, listen to this. Since we are spirits, if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, God has given you the ability to pray in the Spirit. Amen. To sing in the Spirit. Some folks might say, well, uh-oh, preacher, I don't believe that. Now, you were doing all right till you got over there on them tongues. Now, it's working for me, brother. Yes. It's working for me, sister. Yes. It's in the Bible, my brother. It's in the Bible, my sister. Because we are spiritual beings, we just can't be governed by the natural, what we see, how we feel. We have the blessed opportunity as spirit-filled believers to communicate with our Father, spirit to spirit, spirit to spirit. Y'all listening to me? Spirit to spirit, spirit to spirit. Glory to God. I said glory to God. And that's one of the reasons the Apostle Paul says, I speak in tongues, I pray in tongues, more than you all. Because Paul, at his worst moment, whether he was in jail or being stoned or whatever the case may be, he was connected to God. No wonder he could say, just before he left this earth, I finished my course, I've kept the faith, I'm now ready to be offered up. In other words, he says, I won this victory. I'm leaving here victorious, because he was a very spiritual man. And being spiritual is not just how you act and try to look pious or, dear God, you know. No. Being spiritual is being in connected to the Holy Spirit. You got that spirit to spirit connection, your spirit with God's spirit. Y'all still here? And so in the midst of his trials, in the midst of the hard times, I can imagine the Apostle Paul praying in other tongues. Praying in other tongues. Because now he's gotten away from the natural. Now he's getting over into the spirit. Well, preacher, I hear you, but why are you going to speak all that gibberish anyway? It don't make sense. Glad you asked. Go back to what I said earlier. We're spiritual beings. And so when we pray to God in tongues, other tongues, or in the spirit, we are praying in a language that we never learned. Because now we're praying out of our spirits, not out of our head. And guess what? God understands everything that we are saying. He understands the fellowship. Remember, John says, the Apostle John says, our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son. Glory to God. You get over into deep fellowship with Him. He understands what you're saying. You may not understand. Sometimes you get the revelation, but you may not understand what you're praying. And sometimes you get the singing over in the spirit. You may not understand what you are singing, but God does. Can I tell you something else too? The devil cannot short circuit it. All of us can go to a place in God where the devil is not even welcome. When we pray in our native language, he's listening. I'm talking about the devil now. He hear every word that we're saying. He hear what we're saying. And we should pray in our native language, but we need to be able to just communicate with God spirit to spirit. Like the Apostle Paul said, I pray in the spirit more than you all. You know, I'll pray with the understanding, and I'll pray without the understanding. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't have time to go in all of that, but here's my point. Here's my point. When you're in tough times and you don't know what to do, start praying in the Spirit. Amen. If you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not, all you got to do is say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I receive Him right now. I receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit by faith right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let me tell you something else. Paul prayed in the Spirit. in other tongues in tough times. And he also prayed in other tongues when things were good. When he had need, he was in communication with God. When everything, all the needs were met, he was in communication with God. In other words, he stayed in communication with God at all times. Hallelujah. Now, let me say this. We're living in a time now, we know that we're in the last of the last days. We know that. And Jesus could come at any time. I believe that. Frankly, I don't, you know, not every minister agree on this, but personally, I don't know of anything that would keep Jesus Christ from coming back in 5 minutes. I don't know of anything that would keep him from coming back. Well, you said, well, you know, he's not coming back until the gospel is preached to all the world. Does that apply to the rapture, the catching away of the saints? Because the gospel is going to be preached after the saints are gone. And the truth of the matter is, we don't know who've heard the gospel and who haven't. I mean, look at little old us right here. Just by way of live streaming, we don't know where countries. We don't know who's sitting right now and listening to me preach. They're hearing the gospel. Jesus Christ is Lord. You still here? I mean, technology has made it so that you can reach around the world with the gospel. So I don't know who heard and who have not. God does. And I could tell you some things, miracles that are happening where people hear the gospel supernaturally. You know, I won't go into all that, but we still living in Bible times. Amen. Tony, won't you do me a favor? You got a King James Bible, don't you? Go to the last chapter of Acts and the last verse. Last verse, last chapter of Acts. Read it, please. Yes.
Speaking of Paul said, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no man forbidding him.
Notice what it said. Doesn't say the end.
That's right.
The book of Acts is still going on, brothers and sisters. God is still moving. The Holy Spirit is still in the earth. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Glory to God. See, the book of Acts is not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is still moving through all who will let him move. And that's the reason God is still saving today. God is still healing today. God is still baptizing with the Holy Ghost today. God is still working miracles today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's get fired up. Let's don't get caught up in our situation, where we are right now, what we have and what we don't have, what we want, or any of that stuff. Let's just focus on Him, and He'll take care of the rest. Because He already promised us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In other words, we got to do like Jesus said at the age of 12 when his parents came looking for him. What did he tell them? I must be about my Father's business. Guess what, Word of Life? We must be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. So I want you, if you're not fired up already, get fired up. It doesn't matter what you got, what you don't have, how old you are. Nothing. It's just knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Being in fellowship with Him. And He'll use you. Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Don't forbid anybody. God can use the little children. Looking at my little grand girl back there, little Journey. Hallelujah. Yeah, you, sweetie. I'm talking about you. God will use her. Amen. And mama and daddy, y'all make sure they're in a position to be used. Amen. And I say y'all are good parents. Say amen. Glory to God. And you are. Excellent parents, praise God. And listen, God will use anyone that will surrender themselves to Him. Praise God. But too many times we let our circumstances, what we have, what we don't have, what we like or what we don't like, or how they treated me or how they didn't treat me. Forget all that stuff and get focused. Every person that's mistreated you, God knows about it. Every person that's talked dirty about you, God knows about it. He don't want you to wallow in it. He wants you to move forward. He wants us to move forward. And He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. Don't get bogged down. Stay fired up. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we give you glory. We give you honor. May we bless your name wherever we are. Whatever our situation may be at the moment, may we bless your name. May we praise you and fellowship with you in our native tongue and in the spirit, in other tongues. May we have a close fellowship with you, Father. Glory to your name. Because we understand we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Whatever you called us to do, we can do it. Wherever you send us, we can do it. We can go. Because you are our provider. Hallelujah. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, because you are with us. Hallelujah. You are with us. And because you are with us and because you are in us, we're winners. We're overcomers. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, I want to say to our viewing audience, if you're watching this service today and you have not received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I want to extend that opportunity to you.